Live from the Donald Trump rally, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Brother, good afternoon.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Good. Has the king arrived?
I don't think so, because I'm not hearing that he's speaking, but they got everybody in that they could. I think Trump had thousands of people that couldn't get into the rally.
Right. They oversold it. Well, they over...
By a mile. I think there were more people that didn't get in than did.
Oh.
was generally Wisconsinites. They were very civil about it. It was kind of amusing.
It's kind of interesting that they didn't pick a bigger venue, because Donald Trump could fill a big venue.
Of course he could. This wasn't about that. This is about going to Paul Ryan's hometown and putting a marker down.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with crowds.
What's the marker?
The marker is, I'm coming to your hometown, I can draw a big crowd.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, I think it's very simple. It's a very New York sort of, you know, big elbows kind of thing. Don't mess with me. I'll come to your neighborhood and show you what I can do.
Well,
Wow, you're thinking of this at all too highfalutin and sophisticated level.
I guess maybe that's. I guess. All right. So he's coming to Janesville. I would think that he would have picked a bigger venue in Janesville, although, frankly, there aren't a lot of big venues in Janesville.
Well, also, I am getting a sense that maybe not everybody was really jumping to have him at their place. It was very interesting. I got to tell you, Sly, this is a really interesting thing. His crowd was huge. It was very notable. Nobody should underestimate that he had a lot of people out. I think he is competing for blue-collar votes in a town like Janesville. I think that's a huge part of his message. I think in his speech he will talk about the shuttered GM plant and issues like that. Okay? So I think all of that is in play. All of that is real. Now, the second part of it, though, you know, is that I think he's also, you know, he knows that his place is to have rallies, not in Waukesha or you know, the wild Ring of Fire counties. It's in these blue collar towns, and I think he wants to, you know, put his marker down in places like that. I think tomorrow it looks like he's in De Pere tomorrow. Am I right?
Fox Valley. Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he's actually picking where to go rather intelligently.
So he did a press conference. You probably weren't watching this because you're out at the event right now, but he did.
I did not see the press conference.
Yeah, he did a
press
on his airplane.
Oh, I like that.
You got to get yourself on that airplane. Have you seen that airplane?
I swear, I was just riding on the freeway behind a white stretched limo that has painted really well detailed on the side, Trump, make America great again.
Huh. There you go. He's got a sweet airplane. So he is backing his campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, who has been charged now in assaulting Michelle Fields, who at the time was a reporter for Breitbart. Does this affect Donald Trump?
Well, it should. I don't know that it will, but it really should. And let me offer you my reason for why. This is I'm afraid I'm going to have to get serious on here. If we get at all comfortable with the idea of high-level campaign staffers, of candidates, roughing up journalists, or roughing anybody up, you know, that high-level staffers would get involved in a violent incident, and you let that pass, you say, well, that's just part of what our politics is becoming. Our politics becomes something very, very different. This is radically different from a supporter on the floor of a rally doing a sucker punch or yelling at somebody or, you know, pushing somebody around. That's bad and that's troubling. But when high-level staffers engage in it and they are not held to account by the campaign, if they are then not held to account legally, we've crossed a line in our country that is exceptionally dangerous. And so I think this is a really, really big deal. And frankly, I think that the core Trump backers probably won't be influenced by it at all. But I think that anybody who's a swing voter and maybe even some of the blue-collar voters that Trump is trying to reach out to. That will, I hope, that will give reasonable people or even very angry people, but people who have some values and some concerns, pause. So I hope it's a big deal.
Well, this man is obviously innocent until proven guilty. I have not seen the video. Have you? Is the video pretty definitive?
Yeah. I think the video, you know, comes from a Trump security camera.
Uh huh.
Okay, so you tell me. It definitely looks like he's grabbing her and being rough with her. And I mean, I don't think you can look. In my opinion, I don't think you can look at the video and not say that if Donald Trump is confronted with that video, he should say, you know, I stood by my guy. Now I've seen what happened. What he did was wrong. I personally apologize. And I am going to encourage him to, you know, try and work this out and get this out of the legal system and that. But if he doesn't take, I'm really giving Trump a lot of space here, by the way. But I'm saying if he doesn't take affirmative action immediately to settle this thing and be reasonable with this woman, he's fired from my campaign. That, I personally would say he should fire Lewandowski off the bat because of the video. But assuming Trump is Trump and he always is trying to negotiate and game it, at the very least, you know, he has to make a personal, he should make a personal apology. And he should require that his top aide, his manager, try and sort this thing out.
Well, you know,
that's baseline.
Is this one of those things? Is this what people are going to talk about now, right?
Well, it's bad though. Look, Trump, I think, likes to have a conversation about, you know, how much he doesn't like the other candidates, or you know, some, you know, personality conflict with the shows where he disagrees, stuff like that. I think he likes all that. This is different. Slide. This is. You know, this is a top-level aide of a candidate for president of the United States roughing up a journalist. I mean, that's not the sort of thing that happens in America, period.
Well,
and if it becomes a part of who we are, then we're becoming a very, very different country very rapidly.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of firsts this year, John. You know,
I thoroughly understand, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, that I actually think, I don't know where all the lines are, right? But I think this is one of the important lines. And one other thing I'll say is, you know, it's very interesting that we've seen some pushback from some of our national media folks saying, well, it's not the media's fault that Trump has risen, it's the voters' fault, right? And, well, the fact of the matter is, the voters have overwhelmingly rejected Donald Trump. He is, you know, he's not getting 50% of the vote. He's not, in most cases, getting 40% of the vote. And he is winning on a plurality situation. This ought to be the sort of thing that tips the balance, I would argue. I hope it does.
Here is Scott Walker today making his endorsement of Ted Cruz.
A lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of prayer about this. I just really decided after all these years of the Obama-Clinton failures that it's time that we elect a strong new leader, and I've chosen to endorse Ted Cruz to be the next president of the United States for three simple reasons. One, I just fundamentally believe that he is a constitutional conservative, and why that's important to me is I know as a governor and talking to other governors across the country, we need a leader in Washington who understands that our founders intended for the power really to be in the states and most importantly in the hands of the people, not concentrated in Washington. And Ted Cruz not only believes that, he's shown he's willing to act on that. Secondly, I think something really important here in Wisconsin, and that is that we've shown, as you well know, Charlie, that we know how to take on the big government special interest and really put the power back in the hands of the hardworking taxpayers.
Okay, enough. Enough of that. Enough of that.
Oh,
I can't listen.
Yeah.
I can't listen.
Well, you know, what's striking to me is how incredibly excited he is to make that endorsement.
Yeah, there's
a passion in his voice. Yeah, I put a lot of thought, prayer, I don't know, you know, sitting around into it.
Can't be fun.
I guess I decided that that I'm going to endorse my 15th choice.
Do you remember when it was that we had to have a governor to be the next president?
Well, you know what the weirdest part is, too? Even when he's trying to endorse Cruz, he still goes into his own stump speech, right? He's like, taking care of the hard-working people here in Wisconsin. You know, it's like he goes to the core stump speech that has nothing to do with Ted Cruz at all. And the one thing he sort of, like he said, which is sort of bizarre, is that Ted Cruz has shown he could stand up to big government interests in Washington, right? Why would he show that? By trying to shut down the federal government. I mean, it's just a tragic endorsement. In fact, I think, honestly, if I was Trump, people would probably just play the Walker endorsement, put it on an ad. And you know the best part, though? Did you hear the second part? There's more in the interview where Walker's saying, because we're preacher's kids.
Oh, I did not hear that part.
We're both sons of preachers. That's one of the reasons that it's something got in common with Ted Cruz.
Oh, that's just lovely. That is just lovely. All right, stand by.
Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale. And we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that. And we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS. All right, John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation with us. Everything okay out there, John?
Yeah, you know what my favorite sight at the Trump rally, or at the outside the Trump rally was? They lined up the Trump backers, and there was this huge line of them. It went on for miles, you know, or not miles, but, you know, it was a really long line. And it was on one side of a storm fence. And then they had another storm fence, and on the other side were all the protesters, right? And the protesters were all gathered along the storm fence, and they were all, like, kind of, you know, looking at the Trump backers. And I saw coming down on the Trump side was a family, mother, father, and three kids, relatively younger kids, and they all had their cell phones on. They were, like, filming the protesters, right? And I thought the family that tracks together stays together.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's really like this sort of like weird kind of, you know, the paranoid thing where people walk around and they film.
Oh, like much. You know, we had that a lot during the recall, sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was that, but it was a whole family doing it. Uh-huh. And I'd never seen it as a, you know, like a family activity.
Yeah, well, everybody's looking for that golden moment. Well, some of the t-shirts for sale are certainly going to make some news, that's for sure.
Whoa! No, yeah, we can't talk about them on air.
Oh, I mentioned him. I'm not going to mention him in your presence, but yeah.
I mean, it was pretty amazing. Do you know what the weirdest thing? This is the thing that I learned from going to a Trump rally. Okay? The number one question at a t-shirt table. I'm not kidding. I was actually by him. I was listening, talking to folks. Number one question, do you have that in 3X?
I like the sound of that.
They were looking for some of the larger shirts.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That was definitely the case. Number two. And this is just as relevant. They may like Trump, but whoa, do they dislike Hillary Clinton?
Uh huh.
It is as viable. You know, like, you're more likely to sell a t-shirt at a Trump rally if it says something horrible about Hillary Clinton than if it says something good about Donald Trump. I explored that little fact, but it was really, I mean, I you know, I think I could safely say I was a little bit shocked, okay?
Kind of hard, to shock you.
I've seen a lot, but then I saw one other thing, and this is Melissa Sargent was there, so, you know.
What was she doing there?
She came out of protest. She really, you know, believes in racial.
Oh, she's the one that called Madison a racist city.
Well, don't pick on her. She's on the right side of it.
I'm not picking on her. I'm just pointing out that she called Madison a racist city.
Point. Well, yeah, there you go. So she was down there, and she was saying, she had her piece. I thought they're very proudly and strongly joining the folks, and I think it was an honorable place for a legislator to be. And so she was standing behind me when there's a woman who came down, and she was on the protester side, and she yelled across Who wants a candidate for president who encourages his supporters to have a riot at their party convention? And I'm not making this up. A bunch of Trump backers in the line to go in, look, raise their hands and said, "We do."
God bless their hearts. Bless their hearts.
I have never seen it. It was sort of like this. The project, the woman on the other side was, you know, she's just angry at the Trump people. And I think she was saying something she thought was like the most outrageous thing you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "You bet."
Yeah. She misread that crowd. All right, here is something hilarious from Morning Joe today. This is Andrea Mitchell, senior correspondent at NBC News.
If it's a referendum on Trump, that's how she does it.
She's making it about Trump. Don't forget, Jesse Jackson won Wisconsin.
Right.
Wisconsin
could go
easily.
Chuck Todd, thanks so much.
I just looked at the results. Michael Dukakis got 48% of the vote. Jesse Jackson got 28%.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of heartbreaking for some of us. I think
I voted for Dukakis.
Well, you're wrong. Anyway.
Whatever.
No, I respect you for that. It's fine. I'm just saying, I would have liked to see Wisconsin go for Jackson.
There was nothing wrong with Michael Dukakis.
No, actually, in hindsight, it's sort of like how Nixon now looks great. You know? I mean, Michael Dukakis was always a good guy, in fairness to him. He was a very honorable man and stuff like that. But now he looks like stunningly great.
You're right.
But she was
not saying that. Totally she was wrong. Not saying that to compliment Wisconsin.
No, she was saying Wisconsin's like some sort of kooky state or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, as I was starting to say, you know, at times where I sometimes wish we were a little kookier. Look, that's just stunning. That's a stunning statement, right? Because, A, it deeply misunderstands Wisconsin, and, B, it is wrong. You know? But the deep misunderstanding of Wisconsin is this, and, I like the idea of Wisconsin as a maverick, kind of out there, risk-taker, unpredictable state. That's really pretty cool, you know? I can think of a lot worse things to be than that. But truthfully, if you look across the history of the state, Wisconsin has very frequently reinforced the mainstream pick, you know, in both parties. And the best example of that is, you know, it's like going back to 1944, Wendell Willkie was trying to mount a really progressive challenge to the Republican establishment, trying to, for the presidency again, got wiped out, right? He's totaled out. 64, 20 years later, you know, George Wallace is trying to take on the whole thing. John Reynolds, you know, people forget, John Reynolds beat George Wallace overwhelmingly as the head of a Johnson slate. 68, 72, you had some insurgents win on the Democratic side, no doubt. But Nixon won overwhelmingly on the Republican side. Jimmy Carter won Wisconsin over Mo Udall. That was a more moderate Democrat over a more progressive Democrat. Carter beat Kennedy in 80 in Wisconsin. That was a more moderate versus a more progressive one. You know, again, you just keep going down the list. Wisconsin does not always do the most radical or most, you know, populist thing.
The fun thing Wisconsin did in 1984, where Jesse Jackson was running, and Jesse Jackson did not win Wisconsin in 1984 either, was Wisconsin voted for Walter Mondale in the delegate selection. They had caucuses that year. And then there was a beauty contest week or so later, and Gary Hart won that. So,
and that's why caucuses are awful, awful events.
Yeah, well,
right.
That was the last one. That was the last one that was ever held. All right, here is Joe Benenson from Hillary Clinton's campaign, heaping some sort of guilt on Bernie Sanders.
There's no risk. She's done very well in the debates. The debates have been very good. But Senator Sanders doesn't get to decide when we debate, particularly when he's running a very negative campaign against us. Let's see if he goes back to the kind of tone he said he was going to set early on. If he does that, then we'll talk about debates. But we're not going to talk about it.
So no chance of a New York debate.
I didn't say that. I said we're not going to talk about it. We're going to see what kind of tone he sets. If his campaign wants to run the kind of negative campaign and run negative ads like they did in North Carolina, in Illinois, all over the country on March 15th, that's going to be disappointing to a lot of Democrats who feel we have to start focusing on Republicans, whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, and about our differences so we win in November.
You know, for a Clinton campaign, that takes a lot of, as Michelle Bachmann would say, chutzpah.
Chutzpah. Especially on the day that Hillary Clinton was literally on the UW campus throwing bombs, throwing heavy criticism at Bernie Sanders' plan for free college. Literally, kind of like ridiculing it and saying that, you know, you'd have to go through Scott Walker and it's going to fail and it's going to cost the state. I mean, it's this very, very negative line on Sanders' free college thing. So, I mean, it's funny that on the day that they're griping about their opponent being negative, they were being negative. Their candidate was being negative. But more importantly than that, for what it's worth, I believe that your gentleman there,
Joe Benenson.
I tell you, one of two things are going to be true here, okay? Number one, he's either got a little bit of a problem with the truth, or number two, he's not very close to the campaign. Because it happened that yesterday I spoke with one of Hillary Clinton's chief debate negotiators, who's a pretty good friend of mine, certainly somebody I've known for a very, very long time and who I really trust, who told me that they're, you know, deeply engaged, there's going to be more debates, you know, that this is not, you know, that they're working out a debate.
Well, it's my understanding she wants to wait to Pennsylvania.
Well, I think there's some truth in that. But what I'm saying is that guy's going on saying, oh, we're not going to debate until, you know, this guy backs off and stops being negative. In fact, he was saying that at the same time that people actually are in the know in the Clinton Pink campaign are saying that they were going to.
Well, Joe Benenson is their spokesman, so I don't know what the right hand knows what the left hand's doing.
Maybe talk to some of the people involved in the campaign.
Well,
I will tell you that it is my impression that the Clinton people, for all the high level spin on this major,
they are really pushing this narrative that Bernie Sanders is running a negative campaign now. Whether there's a debate or not really isn't that important. But the fact that they're really pushing this narrative, and frankly, the media is feeding into it, saying, you know, why aren't you correcting your crowds when they boo a position Hillary Clinton's taking, and why are you criticizing her? Why are you still in this race? He took in $4 million after he won those three states over the weekend. $4 million in the last 48 hours.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think that's going to work very well, because if you noticed that there have been a couple polls of late that have suggested that Sanders is actually coming up politically, not going down. And, you know, there's kind of sometimes there's this desperate game you play where you try and create a narrative. And, you know, sometimes you can pull it off. You can actually, you know, spin out some line and make it get traction. But if reality's really going against you, you know, like, I don't know, your opponent won 6 of the last 7 contests, it's kind of hard to spin the get out, because you're not going to, you know, it's not going good for you narrative.
It is indeed. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. You enjoy yourself, and you. By the way, here's the most common comment I heard with the T-shirt vendors leaving the Bernie Sanders rally in Madison the other day. You ready?
Yeah.
Is that union made?
Whoa! I did not hear that. You know what? I bet that was probably asked a little at the Trump event. You know, I think the Trump event was more, you know, do you have it in 3X?
I love it. As a 3Xer myself, I love it. Thank God for 3X, John.
Well, I actually thought they might even have made a little money on a 4Xer.
Absolutely. Love it. You can breathe a little more in a 4X.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.